Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Bev. Every Christian has the opportunity for the irresistible charm of Jesus to flow through them, giving them supernatural favor with every person they meet. Here are seven keys to igniting favor, the favor of God, in your life during the remainder of 2019 and every year beyond. First, believe and expect supernatural moves of God in your daily life. As we've often said, there's no such thing as a surprise miracle. You believe for it, pray for it, sow for it, confess it, expect it. We serve a God of the miraculous.
Psalm 86, verses 8 and 10. Love this. Psalm 86, verses 8 and 10 in the New Living Translation says, "Nowhere among the pagan gods is there a God like you, O Lord. There are no other miracles like yours, for you are great and perform great miracles. You alone are God."
Truly, we serve a God of miracles. Now, a miracle, well, we define it as the supernatural intervention of God in the problems of our lives. We strongly suggest that you begin putting together a miracle manifestation memoir, or whatever you want to call it, where you detail the miracles of God that have manifested in your life. Even though a miracle may be viewed as small, it's no less significant than a major miracle. Having a miracle manifestation memoir so you can refer to on a regular basis will raise your level of expectation as you wait and expect supernatural manifestation. Psalm 77:14, the Living Bible. You're the God of miracles and wonders. You still demonstrate your awesome power.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And amen. Another way to ignite favor this year is by doing what you say you're going to do, when you say you're going to do it. There are two things God wants from us, according to Psalm 50, verse 14. Psalm 50, verse 14 in the Contemporary English Version says it this way: "I am God Most High. The only sacrifice I want is for you to be thankful and to keep your word." Chances are, if we can't keep our word, we won't keep his word either. Think about that. There was a time when a person's word was their bond, but sadly, that's not the case anymore. But the scripture is clear. A failure to keep our word is still a grievous offense to God. In Numbers 32, verse 23 in the New Living Translation, it says, "But if you fail to keep your word, then you will have sinned against the Lord, and you may be sure that your sin will find you out." We were taught as children to always keep our word because it's a reflection of who we are, and whether or not people would actually believe they could depend on us for the things that we said. It's also clear that God wants anyone associated with him and with you, employee, employer, otherwise, anything, any of us, to keep their word as well. Even if they do not, they will be still held accountable by God. Because in Numbers 30, verse 2 in the Contemporary English Version, it says, "When one of you men makes a promise to the Lord, you must keep your word." Ecclesiastes 5, verse 5 in the New Living Translation says, "It is better to say nothing than to make a promise and not keep it."
Third, being a person of integrity, even when no one else is around. James 1:8, Classic Amplified Bible. "For being as he is, a man of two minds, hesitating, dubious, irresolute, he is unstable and unreliable and uncertain by everything he thinks, feels, and decides. So don't be double-minded. C.S. Lewis, the renowned theologian, said, "Integrity is doing the right thing even when no one is watching." One of the most highly valued character qualities in the kingdom is that of integrity. Job 31:6, "Let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity." Our integrity is something we can't help. It will not be, but it will be brought to light, whether we like it or not, whether we lie about it or not. And here's some good news. You will never find a person of integrity living without hope. Job 4:6, New Living Translation. "Doesn't your reverence for God give you confidence? Doesn't your life of integrity give you hope?"
Fourth, being a person of character. And I like my husband, I should add in this, being a person of character, he likes to say, instead of being a character. John Wooden, the great basketball coach, said, "Be more concerned with your character than your reputation, because your character is what you really are, while your reputation is merely what others think you are."
That's a great quote.
And it is a good one. In Psalm 89, verses 16 through 18, I believe, in the Living Bible, Psalm 89, starting in 16, says, "They rejoice all the day long in your wonderful reputation and in your perfect righteousness. You are their strength. What glory! Our power is based on your favor. Thank you, Lord." A person with good reputation is most often a person of character who will enjoy supernatural favor.
You know, honey, some time back I read about the six pillars of character as defined by the Joseph Son Institute Center for Youth Ethics. Those pillars were listed as trustworthiness, respect, responsibility, fairness, caring, and good citizenship. We recommend you Google the six pillars of character.
That's good.
Fifth, live an Ephesians 6:8 life.
Ah, Ephesians 6:8, one of our favorite scriptures, says, "Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free."
Those of you who join us on the call every day, you know Ephesians 6:8 is one of mine and I think our favorite scriptures. When I preach in churches or conduct seminars in hotels, I always bless some people in the audience or the congregation with financial gifts. During my last church meeting, I sowed $300 into the lives of six people. I'm sure most of the people in the room talked about how blessed those six people were. But the truth of the matter is, I was the most blessed of them all because of Ephesians 6:8, which the Message Bible translation says, "Good work will get you good pay from the Master." What I sowed into the lives of those saints, God will do for me. Whatever good thing you and I do, we'll receive the same from the Lord, not man, but the Lord. Favor will always be manifested in our lives as a result of what we do for others. And for that, we should say,
Hallelujah. And amen. Sixth, key to igniting favor. Treat people the way you want to be treated. That will bring you favor. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know, the golden rule was one of those things that you long, long ago learned in grammar school. It was being taught in grammar school, and it comes out of the Bible. In Matthew 7:12 in the Classic Amplified, it says, "So then whatever you desire that others would do for you, even so do also to and for them. For this sums up the law and the prophets." We like what the Message Bible translation how it says Matthew 7:12. It says, here is a simple rule of thumb guide for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you, then grab the initiative and do it for them. Add up God's law and prophets, and this is what you get. So what does initiative mean to you, to me, to us? According to the Random House Word Dictionary, initiative is defined as an introductory act or step, leading action, readiness and ability in initiating action.
You know, honey, when I think about initiative, I'm reminded of a powerful cross stitch that I saw hanging in a man's office some 30 plus years ago. It read, initiative is doing the right thing without being told to do it. The best initiative we can demonstrate is not from the minds of men, but rather the kind inspired by God.
Amen.
Seventh, position yourself for his favor to flow through you to others. The best way for supernatural favor to flow through you is when you, well, your head, heart, and mouth are filled with his word. As you wait, filled with expectation. As you pray for favor, I think it's important to also pray for wisdom.
That's true. You know, Luke 2:52 makes it clear. There is a proportionate increase in favor as you increase in wisdom. The verse says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Go ahead, honey.
I was just going to say, I'm sorry to interrupt. Even in the midst of difficult circumstances, the supernatural favor of God will flow through you.
Amen.
Your increased wisdom leads to increased favor.
In Genesis 39:21, story of Joseph, it says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. So no matter what situation or circumstances we're facing, God can move us from the prison to the palace as his irresistible charm flows through us to change hearts and attitudes toward us.
God will even give you favor with people who've tortured you, laughed at you, or perhaps even enslaved you.
Think of that. Exodus 12:36 in the Classic Amplified says, the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they gave them what they asked, and they stripped the Egyptians of those things.
So our prayer for you today and every day is for the irresistible charm of Jesus to flow through you, giving you supernatural favor with every person you meet during the remainder of this month, this year, and the years to come.
Hallelujah.
Now, these people may not even know why they're giving you such favor, but we'll know.
That's
we'll know. It's because of your obedience to the Word of God and your desire to follow the Word of God. Hallelujah.
Opens you up to miracles and amazing favor.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. If you've been blessed by the teaching, go to HaroldHerrig.com. At the top where it says, sow a seed, just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.